Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio, and it's a real pleasure to have you here. Always a pleasure when we have an opportunity to chat with you and to learn together from our extraordinary guests who are doing great things to make our world a better place. And our very special guest, Betsy Cirillo of AdNet, is doing just that. She is the founder of AdNet, AccountNet Incorporated, which is a professional staffing and executive search company in Maryland that advocates for quality and excellence in the workplace. AdNet focuses in identifying subject matter experts in the areas of accounting and finance, human resources, and legal. And over the last 10 years, AdNet has founded a niche in equal employment opportunity and reasonable accommodations. Reasonable accommodations are people that really provide support to full-time employees who have some type of disability, whether the individual is blind, deaf, or requires mobility support. AdNet recruits qualified candidates to support these employees to be able to do their job 100%. Handling emails, transcribing information, reading documents, attending meetings, and developing meeting presentations. The work across industries is about matching the best people in the right jobs. It's not as easy as, you know, it looks. It takes strong listening skills, following proven processes, and often intuition to make an effective match. What sets AdNet apart is that Betsy is a certified executive coach. She trains her team to interact with external employees in a consultative manner. Every person matters. Betsy's advocacy work includes being the co-founder of the Maryland LGBT Chamber of Commerce and Maryland LGBT Foundation. She's also the author of the recently released Shake It Off Leadership and a children's book, too, Miss Crabapple and Her Magical Violin. We're very honored to welcome her live and direct from Baltimore, Maryland, one of America's great cities, the incredible Betsy Cirillo of AdNet. Betsy, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You are very welcome.
And though I'm
welcome.
In Baltimore, I do say I'm a Yankees fan.
You're Yankees. So I'm a Mets fan, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good. And I love the Mets,
please,
too.
Please sympathize with me. The Mets, because my father grew up in New York as a Brooklyn Dodger fan, yeah. And a lot of the Dodger fans ended up going, obviously, with the Mets. So that's where, and we grew up on Long Island, so we always went into Shea Stadium. that is funny. But so there you are in Baltimore doing beautiful things and great work. And what inspired you to do this work? You know, early on, we all have inspirations, aha moments in our career trajectories and choices we make and people we meet. What's some of those things that inspired you to want to create AdNet and do the work that you're doing today?
Well, Jim, it started in the staffing industry in 1985. So, you know, who anyone is doing the math out there, you get an idea of how old I am. I loved the
that
industry.
That was just yesterday.
I never thought. What's that?
That was just yesterday.
What's
1985.
That, Jim?
1985 was just yesterday.
No kidding. I know. I wish. Well, I loved the work. It was amazing to be in a staffing company where I had an opportunity to place people, and I was young, and a lot of the entry levels out of college were assigned to me, and it was just a perfect fit for me. And I loved what I did, but then like 5 years into it, the firm sold to a global company and the culture changed, and it was more about profits than about people. And sadly, there was a lot of racial discrimination and sexual harassment in the culture. So, you know, I thought it was time, because I really loved it. I didn't really want to go work for another firm. And since I had some entrepreneurial flair on both sides of my family, I thought it was a good time to give it a try. And that's what I did. So, you know, I always had a vision that coming from the environment that I did, I wanted to make sure that I created a workplace where people are accepted and where compassion is the driving quality. So, you know, I was 28. I took my retirement savings and a lot of credit cards, and there was AdNet born. So sadly, it was still a time in 1990 when women were still discriminated by bankers to have access for financing. And if I was married, I would have received the financing because the bankers were overtly discriminating. So rather than let them and their ignorance hold me back, the fire inside me says, I'll show you. And AdNet started, and started with a bang.
Great. Congratulations on that. And, you know, taking the plunge and making it work, which is fantastic. It's a great story as far as how you started the company and the story behind it. The company itself, let's talk a little bit about some of the incredible work that you do at AdNet.
Well, in staffing, there's always a wonderful opportunity to work with so many people. And as you said at the introduction, our work was primarily focused on placing people with accounting and finance, which was my background. We got into human resources, then we got into legal. What was really cool is over the past 10 years, we branched out into work that involved EEO and reasonable accommodations. And how that started, we were a subcontractor on a federal government contract, and our prime offered us an opportunity to fill a need for a sign language or interpreter. We never did that before, but we thought, you know what, we wanted to get into the federal government, let's give it a try. We did well, and that led to another request. And then we fell in love with the work because it was really meaningful and it served a bigger purpose. And fortunately, in turn, our customer was really happy with our candidates, and then they invited us to request to bid for a contract for an EEO attorney. We won that contract, and then it kept increasing where we kept getting invited to submit other proposals. And then we were invited to submit a proposal for the reasonable accommodations work. And as you said, our folks they provide workplace administrative support to people who are blind, deaf, or have mobility needs. So, again, that's where that work was born, and it's grown exponentially across several federal agencies. And it's the kind of work that inspires us to get better and better because we directly see the positive impact we have in the workplace. So I tended to shift the model in which I would pursue business for us, and I started to pursue companies and federal agency contracts that had meaningful work. And it could be, you know, the topics have been human trafficking, it's been COVID-related, medical reviewers, medical abstractors, people involved in providing telecommunications and broadband to people in rural communities, people that need access to more energy. So it just building that the contracts became, you know, the deeper meaning was something that was meaningful.
That's the key. That's the key. That's beautiful. And really well said, too. You obviously have a passion for this. What led you to pursue EEO and reasonable accommodations work?
Well, it just kind of fell into our lap, and it was at a time where we were coming out of the 2008 recession, and we were rebuilding because in 2008, my company was exclusively on the commercial side. And as you remember back then, business hiring just stopped, and I almost lost the business. so I had to quickly pivot and move towards, okay, well, who's still hiring? What was the federal government? And I learned it as quickly as I could and got in there. So when we were handed opportunities that were kind of outside of our expertise, we would all huddle together and say, okay, look, we need more business to come in to rebuild. What do? And we kind of hunkered down and said, well, let's learn it. And we learned it as a team. And like I said, we fell in love with the work. Our customers were amazing. They are just a group of brilliant women and men who are part of the blind community who they're inspiring. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Every time I get to interact with these individuals, they teach me a lot, and as corny as it sounds, my heart just gets really full because I learn a lot about their path, you know, what they've had to overcome, and I just see the meticulous work ethic that they have, which they hold us to. And we just keep, whenever they set the bar high, we just keep going higher and higher to meet it. So it's just, you know, it's a love of the work because we get to directly see that we're helping people.
Which is terrific. How do you do this as far as matching the people up? How do you match the folks up in the work that your company does?
Well, it begins with we cast a wide net within our internal network, and our current employees and past employees, they will refer us high-quality people like themselves, and that's always the first place we go. And we typically do it by sending out weekly announcements for all our open jobs. And then we use several job sites and social media to put out announcements and do our best to write effective job descriptions that attract professionals. And then our team conducts in-depth interviews. And then we move to technical testing. We do reference checks and conduct background checks. So it's really, really thorough and a very lengthy process, but it ensures that our candidates are 100% vetted before they start a client's project. And I'll tell you, having been in the industry for so many years, this is where staffing firms take shortcuts. And to get someone placed, they won't follow all the steps because they want to start billing. And we'll hold up a process until we have everything done. Now, the good thing in the federal government, federal background checks have to be done. So nobody can start a federal contract until all these pieces are done. So, you know, it takes a lot of time, but we're protecting our customer. And I think we all know that just because someone has a perfect resume, presents themselves professionally, and has all the right responses, it doesn't guarantee that they're who they say. So our job is we handle the due diligence to make sure that the candidates pass every requirement as well as pass all the various corporate and government background checks. We make it look easy. But we have specific internal processes where we don't deviate. We can't because it protects the customer, protects our candidates, and protects us. So, and I think you see in the work that you do, when you're in challenging economic times, people are getting more creative to hide terminations or legal issues, and we have to be one step ahead. And that starts in very detailed behavioral interviews with each prospective candidate. So that's the upfront part. But then once we make the placement, the relationship continues where we maintain consistent contact with the employees to make sure that they not only endure their work, but that their well-being is healthy. So, and through the pandemic, all of us have been impacted in different ways, and this is when we have to listen more intently for signs of distress. And we stand with the employees through difficult times, and that looks different based on what's needed.
Exactly right, yes. And because it's not a cookie-cutter approach, and life changes and comes at us in so many different ways.
Yep.
The passion that you have also for people with disabilities and in the workplace. Where does that passion come from?
You know, Jim, I think in general, my passion is really for placing high-quality people in fulfilling roles, and it started when I first entered the industry in 1995. So back then, I was focused on accounting and finance. But then over the years, it shifted as needs for my customers changed. And there's really nothing better than when I or anyone on my team receives a phone call from a candidate thanking them for finding them a job, or a call from a customer that says, the person you put on our team has really enhanced what we do. And that empowers me and my team to stay in a competitive industry for so many years. So, when we were invited to support contracts to support people with various disabilities, it, like I said earlier, just inspired me to seek out more work. And every time we are interacting with our customers or candidates on these type of contracts, we learn something new. And it makes us want to work harder to deliver above and beyond service because the nature of the work is so important. And we keep building trusting partnerships between the customers and our candidates in AdNet. So, to be successful in the staffing industry, you have to be passionate about people in general and a greater passion for empowering others to be their best.
Exactly. Who are the people that support you along the way?
I've got a couple different groups of people that support me, and when it comes to AdNet, it's a wide circle, including the gifted group of employees who consistently develop quality results. My team inspires me to be at my best at all times, and they inspire me and empower me to ask for help when the path feels hard. I feel safe with my team. If any of us are having a bad day, we hold each other high through the best of times and the challenges. And, that also holds true with the incredible people I get to work with in my LGBT advocacy work. And, the next group, of course, my wife and my kids, they unconditionally carry me. And their love helps me to keep the constant pace of business in perspective. So I'm sure you understand. You wear one hat during the day. I walk through the door at the end of the day. And all that matters is that I get a warm hug from my wife and a tail-wagging welcome from my dog, Gracie. And my wife reminds me, you're not the CEO here anymore. I'm like, yeah, I get it. So I also belong to a women's group called Women's Presidents Organization, and we are a group of 25-plus diverse women who are successful business owners in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. We are fiercely loyal, and we support each other through whatever shows up on our respective paths. And last but not least, my longtime friends who keep me grounded. And it's in those friendships that I leave all the business stuff behind and can be myself with absolutely no judgment. None of us care what we do during the day. We all go right back to that comfortable, warm blanket feeling of, a friendship. So that's a lot of people to keep me up.
Absolutely. I think I knew the answer to this question, who's the most important person to you and the person that helps you through the day?
Well, that's my wife, Susan. She's amazing. We first met in 1998, and then we married in 2013, which was the first year same-sex marriage was legal in Maryland. And, Jim, it was the happiest day in my life when Susan and I were married. She's my light. She's the person who keeps me grounded, and she's my wise confidant. We often look at each other and say there is nothing we can't get through as long as we're together. And she's proud for me, and she'll also easily tell me when she's had enough with the hours I work and then I need to be more present, and I totally get it. I totally do. It's often she taps me on the shoulder and says, hello, I'm over here. And, I'm grateful for that. She has taught me to set better boundaries about not checking email on vacations, about taking more breaks, and about letting go. So in terms of our balance, she's an artist, and she looks at the world from right brain perspective, whereas my view is more left brain. So when I have angst about something, Susan shows me how to get to the other side in a more constructive way, because my mind can keep thinking. And she gently moves me in another direction so I can let go, clear my head, and come back with a fresher perspective. So, Jim, I am a better human being because of her love, and I'm grateful for her.
Beautifully said, beautifully expressed. You know, it says on your website that as an openly LGBT business owner, you are proud to create a safe workspace. Let's talk about that and how important diversity and inclusion are to you.
It is very important. I know what it's like to be excluded, having first encountered that in my family when I came out in the early 80s. And we've come a long way since then, which I'm grateful for, but I know what it's like to hide who I am, and I promise myself that in starting my own company, that was my opportunity to create a workplace that would be safe for people to bring their full selves to work. There was no way when I started out in the workforce that I would put a picture of myself and whomever I was dating on my desk. There's no way. So, but in 1990, it was clear to me that when I started to hire people, that people didn't have to hide pictures of loved ones, that we could openly share about challenges we face in whatever diverse group we come from, and that we get to learn more about our different walks of life. So the whole idea of being excluded, it upsets me, and it repulses me when there's groups out there today that think they're more superior over another. I don't agree with it, and it's just downright wrong. So I'm at a point in my life where I don't allow that behavior around me, and I'm vocal when I hear inappropriate comments that insult others. It's just not okay to sit on the sidelines and be silent. So if I can stop exclusion in my small part of the world, you know, imagine the change that could happen if we all put each other's small parts together. So that's why we are seeing important change in the world, because more and more people are understanding that equity is necessary for peace.
Very well said. Very well said. You know, it's comforting to know that a diversity and inclusion company's best customer is the federal government, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm grateful for that, because I am openly LGBT and welcomed across all of our customers. And when I speak on federal government panels, I immediately identify myself as LGBT, and it's a liberating feeling.
Now, what's really interesting, too, is that in addition to all of the busyness of your schedule, you also have this incredible role with the Maryland LGBT Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, we started the chamber in 2017, and there was a need for us to have it. At the time, there were about 45 LGBT chambers across the country. Now I think we're over 65, and we also have a global presence. So that's what had myself and my co-founder say, it's time to start in Maryland. And the Maryland LGBT Chamber of Commerce empowers and promotes the economic well-being of the LGBT plus community in Maryland marketplace for education, networking, and advocacy. And as a vital link between the government, business, and allies, the chamber facilitates equality, prosperity, and inclusivity for all members of the LGBT community and our allies. So it's important, and we have we've grown considerably. We took a couple steps back during COVID, but we regrouped, we changed our business model, and now we are seeing increased membership, and we have, oh my gosh, we have a wonderful group of corporate sponsors, including our top sponsor, M&T Bank. We have PNC Bank, BB&T, LifeBridge Health, 14 West, a number. So I encourage anyone who's listening to this to go onto our website, mdlgbt.org, to see what we're all about.
Now, releasing a book called Shake It Off Leadership. Tell us about that. That's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's done, and I'm finishing up the audiobook, and then it will be out on Amazon at any time. So what had me write it is there needs to be more women sharing stories of our leadership journeys. And it's also important that I shared how I overcame personal challenges as a gay woman. You know, my gender and my sexuality are all woven into my leadership style, which is welcoming, flexible, generous, honest, and rigorous all at the same time. And, you know, I'm always a work in progress. So the book is really helps people to look at my roadmap and help them to create their own roadmap. And if you're in leadership, you know, it's important. A leader with integrity must lead by example. And we need more books out there from leaders like myself to inspire the upcoming generations. As we know, our country is rather divided, so we need more courageous leaders at all ages to heal the wounds and bring us together. And I have faith that by more of us telling our stories, that we're going to make our world a more inclusive and peaceful place.
And that's really important. That's the bottom line. You have this alignment of your personal life and professional life, and that's really what everybody wants, right, is to have that balance.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to keep them in alignment, but when it's humming, it's a blessing.
Yes, exactly. And you can help people get in that. You can offer up advice, too, through your work to help people achieve that, which I think is a wonderful thing as well. And also congratulations on the children's book, too, Miss Crabapple and Her Magical Violin. That must have been cool.
Yeah.
Putting that book together, huh?
Oh, it was fun. It came out of my granddaughter asked me to tell her a story, and I just kind of came up with it off the top of my head, and I thought, yeah, that's a pretty darn good story. So I wrote it down, and the book got published, I guess, about 2 years ago. So that was a lot of fun.
That is fantastic. If folks want to make contact, what's the best way they can do, the websites?
Yes, they can go to the website, and my email address is bcerullo@adnetp3.com. And just look me up, drop me an email, give a call, and follow us on social media.
The website, www.adnetp3.com, spelling it out for everybody.
Yes.
And then also there's www.mdlgbt.org as well. A pleasure chatting with you, Betsy, wishing you continued success in everything that you're doing as you reach people through your work. And this was really, really a pleasure. We're living in interesting times, and to know that you're there helping people, guiding people along the way. I know it's, you know, when you inspire others, you're often inspired yourself, and that's a really interesting full circle way for things to happen. And congratulations on everything thus far, and hopefully we'll get a chance to chat some more down the line. That would be a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on the show today. This 30 minutes went by in a New York minute.
I know. And Jim, thank you. It's a pleasure. I have followed your work, and I appreciate all you've done too.
I appreciate that very much, Betsy. Thanks for those words. You be well. You take care. We'll chat again soon. And again, website, www.adnetp3.com. Jim Masters here, thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, you take care, be well, and have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.